Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for June 11th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
If you raise a male with females of the other species, he will very actively court and pursue females of the same species that he was reared with.
Termites really are running the entire show in the savannah.
We have started to look at colors of plants, the colors of butterflies, partially to better understand how nature achieves these effects and partially to see if we can copy them.
This week, nature continuously inspires new innovations in science. We'll tell you how the structure of butterfly wings could be used to foil counterfeiters and how shark scales could help design faster airplanes. We'll also tell you about an unsung but important form of animal communication. First, though, Suzanne Bard has a story about some very confused ducks.
Some birds lay their eggs in the nests of other species, saving themselves the trouble of having to raise their own young. The phenomenon's called brood parasitism, and it sounds like a great strategy for maximizing reproductive success. But it poses a practical problem.
How does it learn what species it is when there's some other species that's rearing it?
Boston University ornithologist Mike Sorensen says female redhead ducks often lay their eggs in the nests of the canvasback duck.
And those eggs are incubated by the canvasback female and raised along with the canvasback's own ducklings. And so an obvious question is, what happens to those ducklings that are reared by another species?
To find out, he and his colleagues put redhead duck eggs into canvasback duck nests and vice versa.
Our first year of experiments showed us that both male redheads and male canvasbacks imprint on the other species. In other words, if you raise a male with females of the other species and then give him a choice the following spring of females of both species, he will very actively court and pursue females of the same species that he was reared with.
They're not sure yet how the ducks end up mating with the right species.
And so the fact that both male redheads and male canvasbacks appear to fairly easily imprint on the wrong species suggests that this might be a general problem for the evolution of parasitism.
They think that habitat differences between the species and the female canvasback's disinterest in male redheads may help sort out the confusion.
Thanks, Suzanne. In other bird news, a team of Canadian researchers has found that migrating waterfowl are polluting the Arctic with heavy metals. The birds eat fish and invertebrates contaminated with mercury, cadmium, and other metals. Many of the birds die in the pristine Arctic nesting areas, leaving behind the metals that accumulated in their tissues. Next, Justin Warner says sharks are inspiring a new generation of aerodynamic airplane paint.
A shark's scales reduce drag and help the shark swim fast. Now scientists at the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany have developed a way to paint similar scales onto airplanes and cargo ships. Engineer Verkmar Stenzel says that although airplanes already use shark skin like foils, they add weight and can't be used on the whole plane. His team loaded their paint with tiny particles that resist extreme temperatures and UV radiation and applied it through a stencil to create a scale pattern. The resulting fuel savings are about 1%, which may seem trivial on the surface, but Stenzel says that if every airplane in the world got the coating, it could save nearly 4.5 million tons of fuel per year. The coating is also being earmarked for other applications, like helping wind turbines generate energy more efficiently.
Thanks, Justin. Speaking of animals that inspire invention, Suzanne's going to tell you about some forgery-foiling insects.
With the advent of the color copier, it's gotten easier over the years for counterfeiters to forge currency in other documents. Now, scientists are turning to nature to combat such crimes. Cambridge physicist Uli Steiner says that the structure of some butterflies' wings, for example, makes them look blue to potential mates, but invisible to predators.
Most colors we know come from pigments. Now, what pigments do is when you shine white light on them, they absorb a certain part of that white light, and so what's left over gives the color. Now, butterfly colors, peacock colors, the feathers of ducks, many beetles, some of the plants, such as orchids, they have colors which come from a different effect. what they have is a specific structure on the surface, let's say, of the butterfly wings. And these structures reflect back the light, but they reflect the light back in a very special way. They reflect, let's say, all the blue light backwards, and the remaining light gets reflected into a different direction. And so the interesting thing about it is that, for example, butterflies use that to make much more brilliant colors than colors that you can generate by using pigments. And the other effect that one can get is one can make an object appear differently depending on the angle at which you look at them. So one gets variable colors. And what is interesting about nature is that nature combines different effects in a very convoluted way to give rise to very interesting color effects. So we have started to look at colors of plants and colors of butterflies, partially to better understand how nature achieves these effects and partially to see if we can copy them.
Steiner and his colleagues have improved upon the butterfly's structure.
It looks bright red if you look straight at it. And if you tilt the sample, it would turn from red to blue. And so one could envisage a security label that is very easily discernible by virtually everyone. You just look at it and you say, oh yeah, this is the real thing as opposed to a forgery.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Animals communicate through sight, sound, touch, and even chemistry. But researchers are finding that some creatures also get their point across through vibrations. Behavioral ecologist Michael Caldwell, now at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute, says male red-eyed tree frogs congregate around ponds at night to call for females. But they also produce what's called a tremulation signal to defend their territories from other males.
The male lifts his body from the plant and he shakes his hind end up and down by rapidly contracting and extending his hind limbs. And he shakes his body about 12 times a second, and those vibrations, they move into the plant. The energy enters the plant and then carries along the plant to other males.
He says animals as different as elephants and insects also use vibrational signals to communicate. Next, Suzanne says termites are often maligned, but some scientists now think they may be the unsung heroes of the African savanna.
When you think of the African savanna, lions and elephants probably come to mind. But according to biologist Robert Pringle of Harvard and Todd Palmer of the University of Florida, the tiny termite is the true driving force behind the fertility of savannas. Palmer explains.
Termites really are running the entire show in the savanna. As decomposers of the dead organic material in a system, they've closed the loop on the cycling of materials within the savanna ecosystem. The termites increase the concentration of nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus and organic material, which gives a big bump to plant productivity in these areas. And that all sort of just cascades upward throughout the entire community.
Palmer says the increased plant life, in turn, attracts large animals like zebras and giraffes, which themselves contribute to even greater productivity. He adds that the presence of termite mounds in the savanna increases the resilience of the ecosystem to environmental disruptions.
Thanks, Suzanne. And in other news from Africa, scientists in Kenya have found that male antelopes trick females into mating by crying lion. If a female antelope in estrus tries to leave a male's territory, the male will trot over, stare in the direction she's about to walk, and produce a snort that means, I see a lion. When she freezes in fear, he attempts to mate with her. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll tell you about a potential smoking vaccine, why men sometimes suffer from postpartum depression too, and about the neural link between schizophrenia and creativity. But if you can't wait that long, you can get your daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we will send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.